Welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ. We're glad that you're here this evening. Take out your Bible, notebook, and pencil, and let's study the Bible together.
Before we enter into our lesson, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our kind and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of the day. We thank you for the physical blessings that we enjoy, the warmth of the sunshine, the rain and its refreshing nature, the air we breathe, the food we eat, and all the necessities of life. Father, we thank you especially for the spiritual blessings of sending your Son to give his life on the cross for us and the hope of eternal life we have through him. Father, be with us as we open up the Gospel of Mark and learn from Jesus and his teaching and how we should be those who follow your word and do what you would say. Help us to not have the mindset to leave anything out, but also not to add to your word. We know that your word is full and complete and will make us what we ought to be if we will believe and obey it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, open them to Mark chapter 2. As we continue this study of the Gospel of Mark, Eric read for us a moment ago, Matthew 12, 1 through 8. It's also listed in that particular Gospel. It's also found in Luke 6, 1 through 5. But we're going to be reading from Mark. This is the account that we're using. So let's go through Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." The subject of Sabbath keeping was often used by the Pharisees to attack Jesus. It brought him into conflict with him more than any other thing that he did or taught. And so here they are on this particular Sabbath. They're walking through the grain fields on their way to their destination. And it says they were eating this grain. They were walking and eating. Oh, how wicked they must be. That's the way the Pharisees looked at it. Think about this. The law allowed them to walk through the field and to eat grain even. The law allowed this. The disciples were not doing anything that was wrong. In fact, they were not harvesting. Now, if they'd been harvesting, that would have been violating the law. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 25 says, "When you come into your neighbor's standing grain," when you're in his grain field, "you may pluck the heads with your hands, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing." In other words, if you are walking and you need to eat, eat. But don't harvest it so that you can eat it later. Right now I need a meal, eat. Besides that, what they are going to take is not enough to hurt the neighbor. This is a very common thing. They were to love their neighbors. They were to care for their neighbors. Even after they harvested, they were supposed to leave the corners. They were going to leave the stuff that dropped behind for the poor. They cared about people, and they wanted to make sure that people were taken care of, and the law did not violate or did not cause them any harm in eating this food. The Pharisees weren't really complaining, though, that they were walking through this field. They weren't complaining about how far they walked. You know, they were not supposed to go on a journey on the Sabbath day. But the law allowed them to walk just under a mile, as you read in Scripture. So that wasn't what they were griping about. They're not griping here about their working, per se, in a regular job. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in our Bible class. The law was about commercial work. It wasn't about doing things you needed to do for your daily necessities or the food that you would eat. So they're claiming that they're working, and what they're claiming in effect is the disciples are reaping, even though they didn't take a sickle, and they are threshing because they're rubbing the grain in their hands. I know I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in our Bible class, but if you weren't here for that, if you aren't familiar with grain, there's a head on the top of the grain. You pluck that grain, you rub it in your hands, the husk and the beard, the sharp pieces of the chaff and all that falls off, and you're left with grain in your hand, and you can eat it. It's actually very tasty. It has a very pleasant flavor, whether barley or wheat, and that's probably what they're walking in. I know some translations say corn. That it wasn't corn. It was probably wheat or barley that they're walking in. They're rubbing this in their hands, and they're eating this grain. And so that's all they're doing. They're just having a snack while they walk. How many of you have a snack while you walk or ride in your car? That's the first thing I do every day. Load up my cooler with my drinks and grab some snacks. And I may even stop at a truck stop and get some more snacks. You know, that's a normal thing. We understand that. You know, one of the first things that our kids always did if we stop somewhere at a truck stop and we're going on some journey is they want snacks. How we could end up with $50, $60 worth of candy bars, I could never figure out. But for some reason, we all like to snack as we go. And here's the disciples walking in the field. And they're taking this head of grain, rubbing it in their hands and eating the seeds. The Pharisees, though, they were caught up in their traditions. We've talked about several traditions that they had that they accused of the disciples and Jesus in the past, but I want to mention some other ones that we didn't talk about before. You know, they thought it was wrong to light a candle or their oil lamp on the Sabbath. To light the lamp, to light up their home at night, they thought that was a sin. They thought it was wrong when you're feeding your poultry. I don't know if they've what they have in particular, but whatever yard bird it is, they take that grain and throw it out there for the birds to eat. They were only supposed to throw enough that the birds would eat it all. Because if they left one grain behind and it sprouted and grew, then your feeding the birds was counted as sowing. You were planting. Just silly, some of the things that they were done. It was even unlawful to swat a fly or a bug. They would write off. Now, that's not the law. That's man's tradition. They were making up their own rules. Do you know men still make up rules today? You guys know that? I mean, some people will get all upset over a man-made rule. Really, we need to have a different attitude about that. But the fact of the matter is, this is not the law. Rather than following the law, the real law, they've added all kinds of needless and trivial regulations, and they've tried to bind it on others. If you remember in Matthew 24, as Jesus lays out in chapter 23 and 24 and 25, you have this whole picture of him standing against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he talked about how they would bind heavy burdens on the people, but they themselves would not lift one little pinky, one little finger to do anything themselves. They were always making rules that others had to follow. They were putting restrictions in place, and certainly they were needless rituals. They loved, in fact, to argue about these kinds of things. There were violations of the Sabbath, though. There were things that they were not supposed to do. If you have your Bibles, go over to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. This is about a man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. I want you to notice verses 32 through 36. Numbers 15, 32 through 36. Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him under guard. because it had not been explained what should be done to him. They thought he was violating the law. They brought him to the leadership to find out, is this a violation? If so, what are we supposed to do about it? Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. This man was working on the Sabbath day. He was trying to gather sticks. This must have been more of a full-time commercial type position that he's doing, and not somebody who's just building the fire to bake bread. Now, they were supposed to break their bread on Friday. Even in our passage that we're reading, it talks about David and how they ate the showbread. The showbread was cooked on Friday. It was set out fresh. That way it was there on Saturday, the Sabbath day. And on Sunday, after the service was over, it was thrown out. It was not kept. And so they would have not needed to be gathering these sticks. That was not part of the law. And so the punishment for violating the Sabbath day was death. In Nehemiah chapter 13, we're not going to read that section, but in verses 14 through 22, Nehemiah is going to deal with the people who were not following the law. If you remember, they've already rebuilt the walls, they've rebuilt the city, they've rebuilt the temple, and they've begun worship again. They read the law to everybody. They started putting the festivals back in place. They're trying to do what's right. They're restoring Israel to the worship that God intended. But what he found in Nehemiah 13, 14 through 22 was that some people were treading grapes in the wine presses. They were making juice. They were squishing the grapes. And he also found that some people were bringing in sheaves, that is, they were harvesting and bringing the grain in so that it could be threshed. And so he found that these things were happening, and we see what he does. The people were not obedient, and so he stopped them and told them not to do this, that it was unlawful, and that they needed to follow the law. There are things that were required of the children of Israel on the Sabbath day not to do. It had to do with commercial work. But man had adapted these things. They've made up their own rules, these things that were not God's. Let's give an example of modern day rule making. It would be like, for example, we would say service times are going to be at 9 o'clock for Bible class and 10 o'clock for worship. We're going to have services at 6 o'clock in the evening or something like that. Our service times are 9:30, 10:30, and 5. Are any of those things set in stone? Are they laws of God? Nope, they are traditions of man. We could schedule our service at noon. We could schedule it at 2. We could do it at 8 o'clock. As long as we did it on the first day of the week, we would be meeting God's law. But some people have bound things that should not be bound. They've made their own rules. For example, in the secular world, if you like sports, for many, many years, the New York Yankees were known for having all their baseball players have a clean-cut haircut, and they had to have their face shaven. You know, why? Well, they wanted them to look professional. Today, most people don't think that's professional. People dress all kinds of different ways today. Our world is very different than when those rules were set up. Is it wrong to have your hair cut and your face shaved? Nope. Is it wrong for you to have a beard? Nope. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a man-made rule. Unfortunately, some have made those kinds of laws and rules in the church, and they are not God's laws and rules. And so we have to be very careful about that. But let's move further. Let's ask the question, did Jesus violate the law? Let me just answer the question very quickly. No, he did not. He was without sin, and he was without spot or blemish. He is the perfect Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice who takes away the sins of the world. He did not sin. But as mentioned previously, they were walking through the field. They were eating grain. They were following a natural process that all of us have done. And they were not stealing from their neighbor. It was part of the law. And so in doing what they were doing, as they were walking and as they were making the grain in their hands, they were not going to be eating enough grain that it would be considered stealing or that it would be considered wrong. What the Pharisees were doing was saying that rubbing the head in their hands and getting the seeds is the same thing as somebody over here with a stone and an ox and ropes threshing that grain and pulling it out onto a commercial floor where it would be scooped up, thrown in the air, the chaff drift away, and they put the seed in bags. They were considering this person rubbing it in their hand the same thing as somebody who's participating in the threshing floor and the producing grain in a commercial way. They are so sadly mistaken because they want to be the one who's in authority. And the sad thing is what the Pharisees did is they accused these men of their own personal opinions. They had no scripture to quote. They weren't showing violation of the law. They were saying, you're violating our traditions. In our lesson last week when we talked about the washing of hands, that's the same thing. Why do your disciples violate the traditions? Jesus said, why do you violate the law? There's a difference. We can have an opinion. You can like things a certain way. You can have an idea about how things best meet your needs. But that's not God's law. There's an old story that's told about a mom is teaching her daughter how to make a roast or a ham. And she's cooking this in this pan. And she's teaching her daughter. And she cuts off the ends of the ham. And the daughter says, well, why do you do that? And she said, I don't know. That's what my mama taught me. So she calls mama. Mom, I'm sitting here teaching your granddaughter how to make this ham. And she's asked me a question that I can't answer. Why do you cut off the ends of the ham? She said, I don't know. That's what my mama taught me. Let me ask. She calls great-grandma, great-great-grandma. Why did you cut it? She said, I don't know why you cut it off, but I cut it off because my pan was too small. Here they are three generations, soon to be four generations deep, following some tradition that had nothing to do with anything of real value. And you know what? I bet all of us have some story like that we can tell. Things have to be a certain way. The truth is that it's just a man-made rule. It has nothing to do with the law. And so these rabbis, they loved it. Boy, they loved to just sit around and argue about these kinds of things. I know some people that are like that too. They just want to take everything to the fullest extent and to every nuance. That's not what it meant. That's not what the law was about. It was about not working in a physical sense, in a commercial way. As we said before, people always want to remember in the fourth commandment, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but they forget the first part. 6 days you shall work. These men weren't working. They were looking and fault finding and causing trouble. They love this kind of trivia and trivial things. And so when men begin to invent their own laws, they're trying to please themselves instead of pleasing God. And folks, we must not add to or take away from the Word of God. And that's taught throughout the Scriptures, Proverbs 30 and verse 6, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. There are many passages that tell us that we don't need to do that. But more than that, we ought to know that God's Word is perfect. It's complete. There are many Psalms that talk about how the law of the Lord is perfect and converts the soul and it makes us whole and tells us who we ought to be. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we learn that that inspired word, that God-breathed word, is able to make us thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It's to make us who we ought to be in Christ Jesus. It will save our souls, James 1 and verse 21. God's word can be trusted. It is the truth that sanctifies, John 17 and verse 17. We don't need to add to or take away from God's word. On top of that, we don't need to act like the Pharisees and be judgmental of others. Now, there is a right kind of judgment. John 7 and verse 24, we're to judge righteous judgment. That means we judge according to what the Bible says, not according to my opinion or my beliefs or my feelings. But folks, we need to make sure we understand that we don't have that right to look at others and make them fit into our cookie cutter idea of what it means to be faithful. We need to look at what the Bible says about what it means to be right with God. We need to follow righteous judgment. What's amazing is Jesus uses David as an example. There are several nuances to this. David did not violate the law. That's not brought out there. But what he's saying is, here's David and his men. They ate the showbread, and it is only supposed to be eaten by the Levites and those who are working in that service in the temple. You've had all this time to gripe and complain and backbite and criticize David, and yet you say nothing. And then here on the spur of the moment, you're judging these disciples to have violated the law. You're a bunch of hypocrites. That's in effect what he's telling them here. They've had years but have said nothing, and they wouldn't. They would never say anything against David. But they're against Christ and his disciples because they don't like the direction he's going. They would ultimately crucify him because they disagreed with his teachings. These men have the wrong mindset. They've accused others of sin. They've accused them, by the way, in the presence of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is standing there. He created the world. He knows the law better than anybody else. The law that man has, that's written down in the Bible, came from God. Jesus knows it. He knows how to apply it. He knows how to interpret it. He knows what matters. And he's letting them understand once again that as part of the Godhead, he is not violating law, and they are the ones who are in a problem. He knows it better than anyone else. If he knew that they were doing something wrong, Jesus would have corrected them. We understand that. We see that throughout Scripture. For example, he rebuked Peter in the presence of the disciples in Matthew 16, verse 21 and following. Peter had just said some great things. They had come back from preaching and teaching, and Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am?" Peter, answering for the group, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus told them that they would preach the gospel, they had the keys to the kingdom, and that Hades itself, hell itself, Satan himself cannot stop the furtherance of the gospel. And Jesus is making it clear, he's about to die. Peter tried to stop it. No, this isn't going to happen, Lord. Even if I have to die, Jesus told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus opposed Peter when he did wrong. He corrected Peter in the garden, not much time after this. You remember when the soldiers came out to arrest Jesus? What was Peter's response? He drew his sword and cut off Malchus' right ear. What did Jesus say? "Put up your sword." Jesus has corrected people. In each of our studies, we see that. Jesus has corrected things that were wrong. If his disciples were wrong for rubbing the head of grain in their hands and eating that grain, he would have told them. But they were not wrong. They were not violating the law. They were violating man's traditions. More importantly, Jesus is speaking. And he's speaking not out of the wisdom of men, but out of the authority of God. Yes, the Sabbath was made for man. Yes, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the one who has authority. He is the one who will not violate the law. He is proclaiming that the disciples are innocent. And when Jesus, who has authority, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, speaks and says they're innocent and what they did is not unlawful, then that matter is settled forever. These men, they had no right to accuse the disciples of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his will for mankind. He has all authority on heaven and on earth, Matthew 28:18. His word is the authority that we must follow today in order to be saved, and his will for our lives is clearly taught in the Scripture, and that includes the plan of salvation, what it takes to even become a Christian, just like the eating of this grain. Many in our world today have come up with their own system for how to be saved. They'll even rebuke and criticize what we do, even though what we do comes right from the Scriptures. Folks, we're not worried about what man says. We're worried about what the Bible teaches. Excuse me. The truth is, the Bible tells us that we have to have faith. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8 and verse 24. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We must have faith. We must repent of our sins. That means we must change our lives. We cannot continue to look like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world. We've got to change. We've got to become what God would have us be. We need to be molded and shaped by the potter, since we are His clay. So we repent of our sins. We turn away from the world and toward God. Luke 13 and verse 3. We must confess Him with our mouths. We must make that known to man, that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said that if we'll do that, he'll confess us before the Father. If we deny Him before men, He'll deny us before the Father. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. We've got to use our mouth to state our faith in Christ Jesus and keep on doing so throughout the days of our life. We must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Our sins are washed away at that time, Acts 22 and verse 16. We're added to the family of God, Galatians 3 and verse 27. We're saved, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. I know the world doesn't believe that, but the world is creating their own ways, their own rules, their own ideas. The Bible tells us exactly what we must do to be saved. Are we going to walk with Jesus who has authority, or are we going to walk with the world who creates their own rules? Folks, we need to trust God and follow His plan. If we're a faithful child of God, we have a home in heaven waiting for us. If we have not, if we've stumbled, if we've fallen, if we've left the path, if we've gone down the path that's not filled with righteousness, if we're not on the right road, we need to repent of that sin and come home. The great news is, though we are not always faithful, though we have stumbled and fallen, though we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we will but confess those sins, repent of those sins, and come home. Folks, we need to be a people who follow the Word of God and not get caught up in the ways of man. We need to trust Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we need to obey Him in all that we do. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you need to become one. And if we can help you to do that by baptizing you into Christ for the remission of sins, we want to do that. If you're already a Christian, but you're not living like you should, you're not walking the path that Christ has set before you, we plead with you to come home. And if we can pray with you and for you and help you in any way, that's what we want to do. Won't you come? Come right now while we stand and while we sing.